We began our worship service with Psalm 98, inviting us all to sing to the Lord a new song, to come up with our own poem, our own composition, our own celebration of God's goodness to us, and the fact that He is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And Jesus gives us this promise that He will give us the words and He will give us a wisdom in the time of our need. A poem, God's word written into our hearts, and a wisdom not of the world, but a wisdom that only the Holy Spirit can give. Jesus talks about a time coming up in His day, which most scholars believe is the year 70, AD 70, when the temple was destroyed. They think that that's what Jesus is referring to. And all the troubles and all the international chaos that leads up to that. He mentions nations warring against nations. He mentions earthquakes, famines, and plagues, and persecution on a level I think that in the United States we don't necessarily experience, but we do see, sadly, in places like Africa and the Middle East, where Christians' lives are truly in danger and even sacrificed. Jesus tells us in those moments of vulnerability, in those moments when we feel threatened or when life is pressing upon us, it seems, from all sides, that it's in that moment that we should stop relying on our own resources and coming up with our own resistance and our own defense, to not try to seek our own way out by our own strength, but to trust, Jesus says, that in that moment, I will give you a word and I will give you a wisdom that no one will be able to withstand or contradict. This is the kind of peace that Jesus gives that transcends life's circumstances, that is far beyond human comprehension or rhetoric or peacemaking. This is the Lord's work that can be celebrated. And so we sing to the Lord a new song. He puts a song into our hearts. This is not in defense, but in many ways on the offense. Not in a violent way, but in a way that shows the power of God at work in us and through us to bring conviction and to bring the kind of change that the Lord wants to bring in us and around us by His Spirit. Jesus says that in your persistence and in your endurance, you will gain your souls. This is very similar to what Jesus says elsewhere when He says, what profit is it for you to gain the whole world and forfeit your souls, He says. And so what we find in the gospel is His peace and His wisdom finds us, finds a place within us, welling up, where we gain our souls. In other words, we find who we are and whose we are as Christ's people, as the church, that grounds us in a peace and a joy that no one can take away. These are soulful words that Jesus gives, words of wisdom that result in a new song. Not many of us, I think of ourselves as composers or writers of lyrics for songs. But I think that's what Jesus is inviting us into. That's what the psalmist clearly is inviting us into, to sing to the Lord a new song. And each of us has a new song welling up within us. And what are the lyrics but the story of God's particular work in your life, where you've seen God meet you in your places of need, when you feel pressed upon, when you are in life's struggles. God's faithfulness sows a seed of a new song. And all of our songs are different. But all of our songs celebrate the goodness of God that's at work in us to do his good pleasure. Earlier in the earlier service, we ended the worship service by singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, which is Ode to Joy, written by Ludwig von Beethoven. It's part of the Ninth Symphony. It was the last symphony that he wrote. He ends it with this great praise to God. But it happened in the middle of hardship in his life, in difficulty. In the 1820s, he completely lost his hearing. It was actually long before he wrote the Ninth Symphony. His hearing was so compromised that he would put a stick into his ear canal, and then he would press it against the piano so that the vibrations of the piano would go into his ear so he could have a faint sound that of music that he could enjoy. His family was in turmoil. There was actually a custody battle between him and family members at the time. He had a financial crisis where some of his supporters withdrew their financial support. His illness made him not only deaf, but also suffered great fatigue in his body, not having the energy that he needed to do the things that he needed to do. At the same time he wrote his Ninth Symphony, he was also writing music for a mass, for an order of worship, just like we enjoy today. It was called the Missa Solemnis, the Solemn Mass. And Beethoven spent weeks and months steeped in God's Word and in the liturgy that he set to music. And scholars believe that that's where he brought the Ode to Joy into Beethoven's Ninth, even though it was not a happy time for him. And that's the difference, isn't it, between happiness and life being a bed of roses and true joy. True joy that is so profound that it can be solid ground that we walk upon, even in the midst of great tragedy, loss, and difficulty. Just this year, John Batiste, who lives in Brooklyn, not too far from here, took Ode to Joy. He's a jazz pianist. And he made it into a new song. Who's been through his own difficulty with his wife's illness that almost took her life. And he renamed Ode to Joy to Ode to Joyful. And John Batiste is a man of faith. He's a Christian. And you can hear in that song that familiar melody that we hear, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, become compromised by dissonance and new rhythms, kind of a rumble of the melody. But in the midst of it, underlying all of that is that ground of peace and serenity. It's only 2 minutes and 4 seconds long. It's worth a listen. Sing to the Lord a new song, the psalmist tells us. Use your own material. Go into the archives of your soul to find the material for your poems, for your music, to give thanks to God, even in the midst of difficulty, to find that refuge that we have in Christ. Or rather, as Jesus says, let his wisdom and let his word find its rest in you. Because Jesus promises it in our text. And what a wonderful way to pray. To take God's word and this promise and tell God in the midst of my difficulty, my illness, or my loss, Jesus, you promised to give me words and a wisdom by your Spirit to challenge God to be faithful to his word, which I think he is glad and also overjoyed to do. This is the same one who in his tragic death and his walk to the cross and in his suffering also sang a new song. He lifted up his voice, not just for himself, but for us, singing, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Today you will be with me in paradise." And into eternity, Jesus sings that new song, that refrain that we hear in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I am making all things new." Listen to how the Spirit is moving in you. Notice the joy that is underneath all the pain. Recognize the Spirit's work in your life, because he has done marvelous things, the psalmist says. Jesus says, in our endurance, we will gain our souls. And so in this joy, we find not only who we are in Christ, but also whose we are. We've gained our souls, our true self, rather than holding on to that false self that needs to defend itself and to claim its own. This is a wisdom that recognizes God's goodness and its faithfulness and this underlying and radical joy. In the name of Jesus, amen.